Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's beautiful out today. I know it's only 44, but it's beautiful out. For February 22nd, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Just received a note for save the date for the golf tournament. I'm loving it. Kevin's going to round his game into shape.
Well, round is a good word for it.
We will be unstoppable.
Round is a really good word for it, though, because that's pretty much what happens when I hit my drive. It goes round the bend.
It does. Let's see here. What was that date? It's May, what? 6th, 5th, something like that. For the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. And this is a must for me every year. I mean, I probably enjoy that tournament more than any charity tournament I'm in. Where is it? Yeah, here's Steve Engel. He sent me a Wednesday, May 4th. And it's the 25th anniversary.
See, that's cool. I didn't know that.
You live there.
I can't count that high.
This is great. They said, we hope for your continued participation and support. Oh, yeah, I think you can count on it.
Done.
Notes now. Nathan Davis on the show today because they have now, at minimum, they'll be hosting a quarterfinal game at Soika, at minimum. If they win twice this week, they host the entire tournament in terms of the ability for them to be at home for a quarter. If they win, they'd be home for the semi. If they win, they'd be home for the final. They won yesterday impressively over Boston University. They've now opened, they're still maintaining a one-game lead on Lehigh and BU's two back. And up next at Lafayette, Nathan Davis at 3:35 today. The Eagles have signed Malcolm Jenkins to a 5-year deal. And at 4:06, we'll have Matt Leon joining us from KYW in Philadelphia. But that's not the biggest story in Philly tonight. The biggest story in Philly tonight is Newman Goretti and Roman Catholic in high school basketball. The two best teams in the state head-to-head.
Yeah, that's 1-2, I believe, yeah.
One will win the Triple-A championship, and the other one will win the Quad-A championship. And they play at the Palestra tonight, and it is sold out. Next on the rundown, Penn State Wrestling. Cale, big picture weekend again for him. He has that ability to do that. Did not wrestle Moss, didn't wrestle Rashid, and did not wrestle Neville. And he had a reason behind each one. They wanted to get Rashid up to altitude and, you know, kind of get a feel for where he is in terms of endurance. Colorado Springs will do that for you. Neville, they wanted to go wrestle there because they wanted to get more competition than he wanted. He went 3-0, I think. Well, that's exactly what they needed to see at heavyweight right before they get to the Big Ten Championships, which will be coming up in a little bit less than 2 weeks at Iowa City. Same thing with Moss. They wanted him to get more in. They still had more than enough in that tank to win yesterday, 29-18. Nico Megalutis, fall. Dolph, fall. McIntosh, fall. Kevin Herr, fall. I mean, I ever all through it.
Everybody. Everybody's winning.
Everybody got a fall yesterday. I said, what, 23-15 conservative?
Yeah.
29-18 with all the bonus points. And now they get a well-deserved week. Wrestling season's grueling enough. They will get that before they go to the Nationals. Of course, they never did wrestle Iowa this year. I know some people have complained about that. But look, when you're in a conference with 14 schools, you can't wrestle everybody. You can't play everybody in football. You can't wrestle against everyone. You can't go home and away against every team in basketball. That would eat up 26 of your 31 spots. When the conference is that big, conferences no longer has any sense of intimacy to it because they've added three schools to it. Which is, you know, I mean, that's fine. Nebraska, Maryland, Rutgers are fine. But it does bring with it the fact that along the way in wrestling, some schools will have to rotate off the schedule. Football teams rotate off the schedule. Basketball, there's eight teams you play once, and there's five you play home and away. It's just the way it is now because of the size of the league. Money also is something as well. The Big 12, through tax returns, had to release their money report. They're making money, but what the SEC and what the Big Ten is doing is even burying financially the other three power conferences, the ACC, the Big 12, and the Pac-12. Pac-12 is a Pac-12 network, but they're having all sorts of problems with DirecTV over it. And it's a series of regionalized networks. It is not like the SEC network or the Big Ten network.
Yeah, unless you buy their regional package through the satellite company, you don't get it.
That's exactly right. Because of that, it's caused a financial hardship for some of the schools involved because they're not getting the windfall from their network like the SEC and the Big Ten get from their respective networks, which are cable. I mean, the Big Ten is right around seven. Big Ten Network is providing revenue of $7 million a year to each school just from that. And that's a... I listened to Chris Childers and Rick Neuheisel talk about that Friday night as I was driving through Jersey. And they were talking about the imbalance financially. And we still have to await what the new Big Ten contract is going to be. And the new Big Ten contract could be astronomical. Now, is it going to benefit all the sports across the board? They'll benefit of the sports across the board because Penn State won't have to be as tight with money. The fine at some point, it will be paid off, and they'll be getting more money from television than ever before, but that won't be until the 17th season, which will then open the door, I think, for everybody to do a lot of different things here at Penn State, including a little bit more travel, things like that. Maybe the pie. I know Kale, let's take Kale Sanderson, for example. He'd love to charter. I'll give you, that's one example. Kale would love to charter to certain matches. Well, 2 years from now, with the additional Big Ten money in there, he might be able to do that, which would be great. That's just one small example right there. That's also a little bit better than, you know, a little bit more than just, you know, something a lot of people wouldn't think about. How about that? That's what we try to do in the show. Try to give you a few things maybe you wouldn't have thought of before. Basketball. The Nittany Lions have won 3 of 4 now. They were expected to beat Rutgers Saturday, and they did beat Rutgers Saturday. In the first few minutes, Penn State built up a 23-8 lead, and you know what? They didn't play well to do it. They're up 23-8 and did not play well to do it. Eventually, Rutgers found itself, got within six at halftime, 28-22. Then Rutgers came out pretty good in the second half, took the lead, 37-35. And then Penn State said, the heck with this not playing well. They then kicked it into another gear. They ran off 15 unanswered points, and they did it impressively. This is not one of those paper cut jobs where over a 7 or 8 minute span, you run off 15 unanswered. Oh, no. They went out and they ran off 15 unanswered points. Eventually got it to a 17-point lead. They just coasted home from there. Brandon Taylor had a double-double. Shep Garner at 20. He's now hitting three-point shots. And a lot happens when you play with the lead, which we've talked about. And a lot happens when you're able to hit three-point shots, which we've talked about. It was another day where Penn State was able to be good from the outside. Garner, in particular, was 5 of 9. You've got Nebraska coming in here Thursday night. Nebraska beat Penn State the first time. In the last four games, Penn State essentially, in the last four games, has played 160 minutes of basketball, 140 minutes have been just fine, and 20 minutes have been awful. The 20 awful minutes were the second half at Nebraska. They've got them here on Thursday night. They're now 14-13. They're 5-9 in the Big Ten. And playing well enough. You know, they're certainly a better team now than they were 3 weeks ago. And I always get a laugh out of, you know, I get when people come up and say, I'm telling you, the coaching's bad. I always love that, no matter what the sport. The coaching's bad. Things aren't going right. The coaching's bad. They don't make any in-game adjustments. Now, imagine standing in my shoes hearing that, and you sit there and go, okay, it's fine. The biggest single move in the game on Saturday was a coaching move. They waited. They saved it. They finally hit a point where they said, that's it. We're going 2-3 zone. Second they went 2-3 zone, Rutgers had no clue how to attack it. None. Zero. Zip. Zilch. No clue how to go after it. That you could just see they're looking around at each other like, what the heck? That coincided with the 15-0 run. It was the call of the day. It's simple, but it was effective. They made it work. Really good coaching moves, by the way, are always backed up by good play. You'd be amazed what good play does to make a coaching move look great. Conversely, the coaching move that baffled us the second we saw it was when they're up 2 and Eddie Jordan goes with a full court press and we're looking at each other like, what's he doing? And Penn State came down, slam dunk, broke it. And that's what started the 15-0 run. Oh, well. On to the next one. On to Nebraska. I sound like Belichick. The combine starts this week. I think it starts tomorrow. 7 days of combine, the Underwear Olympics.
Underwear Olympics. Well, I mean, I understand why. I get it.
The Underwear Olympics.
Yeah, I understand.
Bill Belichick makes a really good point. He's not big on the combine. The reason he's not big on the combine is this. And I agree with him. Now, I completely agree with what the players are doing, but I agree with him. The players spend all their time over recent weeks doing what? Getting themselves ready to combine really well. Getting ready to run a really good 40-yard dash. Getting ready to run the cones. Getting ready to do 225 pounds of the bench. Getting ready for the interviews, things like that. And Belichick says it's a waste of time. He says because they should be doing things that make them football ready instead of combine ready. Belichick's correct, but at the same time, for the players, they're doing exactly what they need to do because this is part of their job interview. Right now, each individual is a business unto themselves. So they've got to be able to combine well to impress these people, because that's what the system says they need to do. So they're both right. The players are doing exactly what they need to do for the job interview, and Belichick's right that it really doesn't help a lot in terms of the football part of it. But the combine, which will include five Penn State players, Christian Hackenberg, Anthony Zettel, Austin Johnson, Carl Nassib, and Jordan Lucas, taking place this week in Indianapolis. Actually, I had the days that each guy was working. I did have that, as a matter of fact, which, where they're out here. I know I had it at some point here. I was actually back a little bit here. Because I think a couple guys aren't even going to go till next weekend. But that's the combine. You like the Underwear Olympics, do you?
That's a very good description of it.
It's what it is.
You know what? I was out. Go ahead.
I'll say this. My favorite part of it are the 40-yard dashes of the wide receivers. You want to know why?
I was just going to say, why would that be your favorite part?
Because every broadcast is out. He runs a 4.3 40. He runs a 4.4. Then they go out to the combine. 4.48, 4.52. Like, you've been duped. Yeah.
Hey, this weekend I was out in State College at University Park, and I have to admit, I was impressed and a little bit amazed at the amount of hockey fans pouring into Pagula. I mean, I know it's been sold out and things like that, but wow. And I'm talking hockey fans that are not just going there to go see something or see an event. I mean, we're talking decked out. It looked almost like a football game at times. I smelled grills going. I was impressed. I mean, they really go all out for the hockey right now at Penn State.
Yeah, they're selling out. I think they've sold out 31 in a row, which is 6,000. The building is the right size. The building is the right size for what they're trying to do there. They obviously had the money to do whatever they wanted, but they built it the right size. I mean, you just can't put a price on that. And the building is loud. It's one thing about working between the benches, as I did Friday night. Obviously, I have an earpiece in because I'm trying to hear the producer, which this time was Jim Ressler, who was working in Chicago. And the problem that you have is that, and I'll go back sometimes into the training room just to hang out there for a couple minutes. And the reason I do that from time to time is a couple things. Number one, it's warmer back there. But number two is to take the earpiece out, because I have to turn that up so loud to hear him in Chicago and to hear, this time it was Fred Pletch and Ben Clymer, to hear Fred and Ben, because I'm trying to get a read as to what they're doing. I've got to turn that thing up so loud that when you're done, there is no hearing in your right ear until about Delaware Water Gap. Then it started to recover a little bit as I got into New Jersey. I thought, okay, good.
Oh, the ringing's gone. That's great. I was worried.
I wasn't worried because I'm used to doing it, but
it was really strange, though, when you got pulled over and you were going, I don't know, officer, what's the matter? He was a little suspicious at that point.
I only had one police situation on the trip, and it was on the way back, and it had nothing to do with me, but it was, I pulled in to get gas after the game, and I was near Interstate 80 at the time, so I was working my way up from Piscataway. And I get gas, and I pull out, and all of a sudden, as I get, there's a lot of traffic, so I can't make a left turn yet. This police officer suddenly comes in from the other side, boom, and then swings around behind me. I thought, okay, great. Well, something must be going on, because then he cut to my left, went to my side, and then when the light came up, he went through. So what the heck? I followed him. I figured the dude wants to plow the road I'm in. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
Insuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Presidents Washington and Lincoln could have never imagined that their day would mean one thing. Huge deals at Sunbury Motors 4. SMC is celebrating President's Day now through the end of the month with their annual President's Day sales event. Choose from over 400 new Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs with savings up to 11 grand. Get from over 50 of the stylish 2016 Ford Fusion and take $3,000 off. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 72 months. And they start as low as $19,765. SMC has 75 of the top-selling 2016 Ford Escape with savings of $2,750. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 6 years. And they're priced from just $20,490. Last year, Sunbury Motors was one of the top-selling F-150 dealers in the entire Harrisburg and Philadelphia region. And they're loaded up with over 100 Ford trucks in stock with savings up to 11 grand. See for yourself why more people are heading to Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Proudly serving all of central Pennsylvania since 1915.
When Woodrow Wilson was in the White House.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors Force Rate in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Very quickly, this day in sports history, one biggie above all. The 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team and what I consider to be the greatest upset ever beat the big red menace, the Soviet Union 4-3. Michael Ruzioni, game winner, Jim Craig, great in net. Mark Johnson had a pair of goals as well. And they pulled Tradiak, and Viktor Tikhonov, the coach of the Soviets, did not pull his goalie. Why? He never had to before. He didn't know what to do. Guy that always knows what to do, in my opinion, it's Nathan Davis, the head basketball coach of Bucknell. Coach, welcome. Great to have you back on.
It's always good to be with you. Thanks for having me. I got to question your judgment, thinking I always know what to do, though.
It's all part of the buildup. All right, let's get to yesterday. Yesterday was officially Senior Day, and the seniors came up big for you yesterday. What did it mean to you as a coach that when you got there that they bought into what you needed to do?
Well, I think it's, that's the biggest thing. It's anytime there's this change over, there's going to be, in coaching, there's going to be some things done differently, and you got to be able to get your guys to believe in what you're trying to do. And I think that we got great leadership out of them all year long. They've been on board with what we're trying to accomplish, and it's paid off here down the stretch that we've been playing pretty well.
How much have you changed practice? How hard do you go now, and how short are the practices? And then I'll follow that up with your film work.
We are, I don't think in the last week we've been on the floor for more than an hour and 10 or 15 minutes. We've been trying to simulate the start of games each day, so we're doing that. I would say that there's maybe 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes where it's actually live, 4-on-4, 5-on-5. But so it's trying to be crisp, trying to be brisk. And honestly, there's things, if we're doing it well, we'll get out of it early. If we're saying we're going to do this here for 5 or 6 minutes and we do 3 or 4 of them in a row really good, we'll move on. So I hope that kind of answers your question. About an hour. Which
then brings me to the next part, because getting out of the gate, what has it meant to your team that a good chunk of the time you've been playing with the lead? What do you think that it means to the kids mentally doing that?
I think anytime you're playing from in front, it's an advantage because you're obviously been doing some things well, and you've got a little not that you can relax, but you've got an opportunity where if you make a mistake or two, you're not all of a sudden down 4 or 5 points. So playing from in front is always important.
Which brings me now to points per possession. Do you like your efficiency right now?
I think it's been good, especially the last week. The week before, when we were struggling, we were nothing short of atrocious with that defensively. I don't know how else to put it. But in the last week, we've been much more efficient. Guys have really been hanging their hat on doing their job of not pointing the finger at somebody else and getting what their responsibility has done. And because of that, we've really improved from last week defensively, and we've been able to score. I mean, we'll go through stretches where we, like anyone else, we might have some turnovers and miss some shots, but as long as we're guarding and getting quality shots, the run's going to come at some point.
I mean, turnovers are empty possessions. How good a job have you done staying away from live ball turnovers, which, you know, it's not an empty possession. It's a potential disastrous possession.
I think that's one of the things yesterday that was good for us was we didn't really have many live ball turnovers. We had some really careless turnovers, but they weren't ones that were leading to run outs and things like that. So we had an opportunity to get back and get set. I mean, so much of basketball, and especially this time of year, is the team making the fewest mistakes is going to win, and it's about getting quality shots. And if you can limit live ball turnovers so you get your defense set, you have a much better chance of forcing to take a tough shot.
Has this stretch of the past 3-4 weeks given you insight as a coach into how mentally tough your players are in certain situations?
I think so, and I think that we've seen that we've come out the last week after struggling for really going 1-3 over a 2-week period where we didn't play very well. We've come out and played to our best here this last week, so that's good to see us bounce back as we're getting down the stretch here with everything we wanted to accomplish in front of us and to really come back strong and play together and have a tremendous purpose at both ends of the floor.
You've got Lafayette coming up, and then it'll be Navy, both on the road to close. At minimum, you have now currently clinched at least a quarterfinal game at home. Obviously, winning both gives you the Patriot League title. How do you handle that kind of care? Now, it's a positive to handle, but at the same time, because there are two games, is it just you're just clearly locked in on Lafayette and that's it?
Yeah, that's what you got to worry about. I mean, you're talking to your team about the entire year. You've been wanting to get yourself in a position where going into this time of year, you've got a chance to be the first-place team, and we've done what we needed to do to get to that point. Now we got to go to Lafayette and play a great game. Played them here a few weeks ago, and it was a tight game. It was back and forth. We were never really behind, but it was always right there. They played Lehigh the other day. It was the same type of game. They were always right there. We have to go in there and play well to give ourselves a chance to win, and then we'll worry about Navy coming out of that.
You've had, obviously, the seniors have been through this before successfully. How important is that factor that they have been through this before?
I think experience, there's no substitute for it. And having had a group of guys with really the sophomores, juniors, and seniors that were around last year when they were doing the same thing, had to go down to American to win and clinch the regular season, and they did it. So having been in that situation before can only help. There shouldn't be a whole lot new to them. It's about going out, and again, it's just playing the best of your abilities.
It's been a while since you played both Lafayette or Navy. Is it almost like playing them again for the first time?
It will be. Lafayette's a little more recently than it was 3 weeks ago, but the way the league does the schedule, Navy was our first league game.
Right.
So it was back in December. December, I think, 30th, right. We played. So that'll be it'll been a while since we've seen them. But basketball's basketball. You're going to get ball screens and post touches and all that stuff. But we just got to make sure that we do our jobs.
Yeah, how much do you work now at this stage on them versus you? Where you know, is it mostly just you working on them, or do you keep the scouting report to it? Look, you and I both know they're 18 to 22. Retention is an issue, okay? So
right.
Yeah, how much do you give them to work with?
Probably a little bit more and more at this time of year because you've seen everyone once, and so you kind of build on it. I would say, like for instance, we play Wednesday, so today it'll be mostly about ourselves and trying to correct stuff from yesterday's game.
Right.
And then we'll carry over and tomorrow after practice. We'll look at some film on Lafayette, and then tomorrow will be about them and how do we want to attack them and how are they going to try to defend us. But one of the things, if we've done our job, is we've kind of seen everything that we should see by now. And so we should have an idea going in about when they double from here on the post or they're going to switch screens or how they're going to play ball screens. We shouldn't have to – it's not like we're building from new. It should be something we can draw back on from previous experiences, not just against Lafayette, but against – a lot of teams we played throughout the year have done the same type of stuff. So it's more of a refresher.
Right. I remember years ago, Penn State was getting ready to play Ohio State, and Kirk Kanasky, who was on the staff, was very thorough in his scouting report. And at one point in shoot-around, this wasn't in practice, it was in shoot-around, he says, now look, they ran this play 2 years ago. They might bring it out tonight. And I sat there, when it was over with, I said, look, I completely appreciate what you're trying to do here, but what are the odds are they remembered that? And he says, I hear you.
Yeah, you never know, but you also never know. It might be one guy picks it up, and it might be the one guy that's there to make the play,
right,
or that needs
exactly
to make the play. So you're right,
exactly.
It's a fine line. It's a fine line between overload and giving them enough that they can fly around.
Oh. What's your policy, by the way, on Twitter? Do you let your players go on Twitter? Do you like to manage it? How do you handle social media with your players?
We talk about it at the beginning, and we do monitor it throughout the year. We don't limit them on what they're on going on it or anything like that, but we monitor and say, look, you got to be smart about it. People are looking. If there's stuff that you wouldn't want your mother or father or grandparents to see, you shouldn't be going up there, and you really shouldn't be saying anything about what's going on in here with our team. I mean, that's for the locker room.
Nathan, always a pleasure. Best of luck against Lafayette. We look forward to talking to you next week.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Have a great week.
You too, Nathan. Head coach Nathan Davis of the Bucknell basketball team. We will come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Leon, next half hour. We're going to have Matt on to talk about what's going on in Philadelphia. The high school game of the night, in fact, of the season. And also, look, it's sold out in the Palestra. It's Newman Garetti and Roman Catholic. There are 8 Division I players on the floor tonight. 8. Pretty good.
I'm trying to see where Newman Garetti checks in. I think they're right now, Max Preps lists them at number 1 in the state.
Yeah.
And
they should be.
I think the other is number 3.
Roman?
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter. They play head to head tonight.
Let's see.
And not only that, they both may win state championships because one Newman is triple and Roman is quad.
Yeah, Newman is number 1 in the Pennsylvania state rankings overall at 22-2, and they're number 1 in class AAA rankings.
Yeah. It's all good.
And who was the other one again? I'm sorry, I drew a blank.
The one that has the 3 Penn State recruits on it.
I know. I just, for some reason, didn't think.
He's checking right now.
This is
really exciting when he does that.
Well,
I love that.
I find this interesting because I can't remember all this stuff. I don't have enough hard drive space in my head.
Well, but you know what?
They are 3rd right now in the state of Pennsylvania.
Fabulous.
Behind Newman Garetti and Imhotep Charter. By the way, Westtown is tied for 1st right now in the Pennsylvania state rankings, according to Max Preps, with Newman Garetti. But Roman Catholic plays an unbelievably tough schedule. I mean, when you see numbers on Max Preps, it's near 20. That is a tough schedule. The average high school plays a schedule of probably about a 6.
Well, they went out of state. That's why. I mean, they went out of state and they played some games and so forth. I mean, they just didn't, you know. And if you're going to play in the Catholic League. So I remember last year somebody, they were on the road. Penn State was on the road. And Garner made a couple of plays on the road. They said, God, the Garner kid's pretty tough. I said, what's a Roman Catholic? I said, do you think he really cares what you people are doing here? I said, he didn't care. For goodness sakes, he seemed worse. Oh. This is what you're going to find. I mean, if Pat's going to go into Philly and do something like this, you're going to get some kids out of there that are physically and mentally tough that you're not going to find in a couple of other places. That's a big difference in this whole thing as well. But it is tonight, and it is sold out. Sorry to hear. Also, I get this text from you as I'm driving. I didn't respond because I was driving.
Well, I figured you were driving. That's why I sent it.
Your season ended.
Abruptly.
Abruptly. Yes. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, Montoursville played very, very well. They did not play like a 12-10 team. And Coach Tim Forsett said after the game that Chickalamee just did not play as well as they have all year. And they picked the wrong night to have a bad night.
Yeah. That's not good.
Now, it is still the third. As I said in the post game to Tim, I said, I know it's not going to feel that way right now, but it's still the third best season in Chickalamee basketball history. I said, that'll feel better in a couple of weeks. It didn't feel better on Friday night, knowing that.
No, that's hard. That's awfully hard. That's when you get to this time of the year, it's like you have great success. I mean, you know, there are going to be some kids along the way. Well, we got the AAA, AA wrestling coming up here, right?
Yeah.
In high school.
Sectionals for AA were last weekend.
Yeah, you know, last weekend. And then you have, obviously, the road to Hershey going on. And for the... in wrestling, they added in that extra weekend, you know, kind of make-believe national championship thing, which is fine. I mean, I'm happy for Cale and those guys because, I mean, you know, they've never had an undefeated dual meet season before.
Yeah, I didn't believe that when you said that last week. I didn't realize that. It's hard to believe with the success that they've had.
Yeah, that's just a statement. That's, believe me, that's not one of those, you sit there and it sounds like you're criticizing. No, you're not criticizing at all. You're just stating, hey, look, you know, this is significant because of, that's why. And they did it. Well, now they got a week off before they get into, and he took Neville and he'd send him out to Colorado Springs. That worked out great. That got him some extra bouts in there. That worked out really well. I think Rashid lost only once. They were trying to get him at altitude because they were a little concerned about, you know, how he'd been doing in the third period of bouts. And they thought, you know, this would give him a better read on what was going on. So he was looking big picture while also wrestling these guys at the same time. I think he knew he had enough in the tank to do it and send them out there. And now we'll see how it affects the lineup. I don't know how McCutcheon is. That obviously was a tough one, him getting hurt like that. Basketball-wise, now this is a quick side note, and it's only a side note, but because people have brought it up, I will take care of it now. And people have brought up, what about the possibility of the NIT for Penn State? Now, there's still four games left, plus, you know, the Big Ten tournament. But I will answer the question now, because at least I think you got to answer the question. And that is as follows. When Penn State, over the years, I could have easily told you now what it would take for Penn State to get into the NIT. Easily could have told you. And would have been right probably 95% of the time. Now the NIT is very, very difficult to get a read on because you don't know how many open spots there are. It is a 32-team tournament. But if a team wins its regular season and does not win its conference tournament, they get an automatic bid to the NIT. And last year, there were 15 schools that fell into that category. Thus, there were only 17 openings for the NIT last year. Only 17. Now, they do want to get some Power 5 schools in there. No offense, Coppin State taking on Coastal Carolina. You're like going, I'm not watching that. No offense. But... you know, and ESPN's in the business of people watching, so some Power 5 teams have to get in there. But it's not easy to get in because you don't know if there are going to be 26 available spots or if there are going to be maybe 15 or 16 spots available. I mean, last year there were 17 spots available. That was it. Not easy. Also, RPIs also come into play. Penn State's RPI right now is 101. The strength of schedule is good. Penn State's strength of schedule is 48. And you've got, coming up on Sunday, you're at Michigan State. Your strength of schedule is about to go up. But that's what comes into play. Obviously, you got to win games and so forth. But I'm just talking about, just so everyone gets a better gauge, it's really hard now to understand what it would take to get in. I don't know. And my understanding is Penn State did not fill out paperwork for the CBI.
That was the other thing I was going to ask you. Would they go to the CBI again if invited? But that answered that.
Now, there is a new tournament called the Vegas 16 at Mandalay Bay. Interesting.